Welcome to the 11KPW podcast on proportionality by Jonathan Swift QC. This talk was given at the 11KPW Local Authority Conference on the 1st of October 2015. For more podcasts and information, please visit 11kpw.com.
Who was scheduled to talk about CARE Act, the CARE Act. Unfortunately, Joanne has been unavoidably delayed today, so she won't be able to talk to you about the CARE Act. Now, there's good news and there's bad news as a result of that. The bad news is you get to hear from me right now about proportionality. The good news is that Andrew Sharland has stepped in to give you a second talk in half an hour's time about the CARE Act. So good, you'll want to hear him twice in one day. At the moment, he is preparing to speak to Joe's talk about the CARE Act, and you'll have that in about half an hour's time. So, in the meantime, from the detailed and useful information that Andrew will give you to the much more general and much more useless information that I'm about to give you in relation to proportionality. This afternoon, what I will do is try to address two matters. First, and reasonably shortly, to try to identify some of the practical consequences of Human Rights Act proportionality for public authority decision making. And obviously this goes to one of the key questions in public law, which is how close can the courts get to your decisions? Put bluntly, how often can they follow their own judgment on matters of difficulty in assessment rather than deferring to yours? Secondly, and taking account of the encouragement given by the Supreme Court in some recent judgments, in particular the judgments in Kennedy and Charity Commission and FAM and Home Secretary, to give you some thoughts about what the common law might look like if it moves to a form of proportionality testing. And that is very much the direction of travel that the Supreme Court in both of those cases has advocated. So what might proportionality, common law proportionality, look like? What I will suggest is that where we could be heading is an EU law style approach, perhaps with some or all of the features described by Lord Reed and Lord Toulson in their recent joint judgment in the Lumsden and Legal Services Board case. That was the challenge to the scheme of scrutiny that was going to be applied to criminal legal aid advocates that ultimately turned on an issue of EU law in the Supreme Court. So, proportionality, Human Rights Act so far. Here we are, the most recent definitive statement of proportionality. There have been a fair number of those over the years. This one by Lord Sumption in the judgment in Bank Mellat and Treasury from 2014. And you can see there that Lord Sumption describes the approach as being an exacting analysis of the factual case advanced in defence of the measure in order to determine four things. Is the objective being pursued by the public authority sufficiently important to justify any limitation on a fundamental right? Secondly, is there a rational connection between the decision taken and the objective that was said to be being pursued? Thirdly, could there be something less intrusive that could have been done, something less drastic? And fourthly, sort of the overall fair balance, has that been struck between the individual's rights and the general interest? There's the approach. What then have been the consequences of this for public authorities? It seems to me the first is a point of context. The consequences, of course, only bite on decisions to the extent that they engage convention rights. I suspect that for most public authorities outside central government, the rights that are most often in play are likely to have been Article 6 fair hearing rights and Article 8 rights. But of course, we all know, just taking Article 8 as an example, the breadth that article has taken on and its ability to permeate pretty much to any decision that has any implication for personal well-being in its broadest sense. The second point is that the prospect of proportionality testing in convention cases is correctly seen, I think, as an amber light rather than a red light to decision making. No doubt there will be greater caution applied before any difficult decision is taken. to that extent, you might think more carefully about assessing the merits of the decision that you have in prospect. You might think about matters such as prior engagement with people who are potentially affected by whatever the proposal is. But that, it seems to me, in practice, need be the full extent of the amber light. There's not actually a barrier provided by the Human Rights Act to decision-making. The third, this is perhaps a slightly more positive point, is that the approach to proportionality under the Human Rights Act does at least provide a recognisable structure for the way in which a court will approach testing the legality of decisions. As I say, at least you have an idea of where the attack will come to, where the scrutiny will come from, before you get to the door of the court. Finally, and this is the last bullet point, the prospect of that scrutiny, I think, encourages public authorities to have better evidence in support of their decisions. Put bluntly, have you, the decision maker, got a good story to tell? If you have, well, there is a much better chance that your decision is going to survive scrutiny. Not a point, I think, to be taken lightly. In most cases where there is a Human Rights Act-based challenge, if there is a good story to tell, then, for example, as to why the decision has been made and so on, that will go a long way, I think, to addressing each of the four Bank Mellat proportionality criteria that we saw on the slide a moment ago. What, then, are the chances? That's better. What, then, are the chances that proportionality will spread wider than the Human Rights Act context and come to be the standard for assessing all decisions that public authorities take? Now, in Kennedy and in FAM, Lord Mance gave judgments which encouraged the idea that the common law should adopt a proportionality approach as part of its own armoury when it came to testing the legality of public authority decisions. Now, these were the points that he made in those judgments, and focus just for a moment on the second and third points there, which I think are the, as it were, the positive things in favour of some form of different approach to testing legality. So the language of proportionality should be acquired by the common law because it provides a structure to enable courts to review decisions. And applying proportionality would expand the reach of the common law beyond rationality-based review and in some cases allow the court to assess the relative weight of competing considerations arising from the decision under challenge. Now, all of that seems like it might be slightly threatening in terms of the way in which the courts will measure up and shape up to looking at decisions taken by public authorities. Of course, one question to ask in relation to this is, well, what's wrong with the common law? Why do we need to think about changing at all? Here, I think, in three bullet points, are what is thought to be wrong with the common law and what is thought to be better about proportionality. So here we are. Firstly, the perception that Wensbury is too rigid and the perception that that problem can only be addressed by some sort of move towards a proportionality approach. Secondly, the idea that Wensbury isn't good enough in the sense that it doesn't allow the courts, give them enough to use in terms of testing decisions in a way that still permits the courts to identify a clear line between their role and the role of the public authority decision maker. And thirdly, the idea that it is arbitrary that some claims are subject to proportionality testing under the Human Rights Act, and other claims that don't fall within the Act are not tested in the same way. Now, I have to say, I'm not entirely convinced that any of these three points is as strong as the proponents of common law proportionality would like to think. In your own time at home, you will see in the paper that's in the pack, I set out a number of points in support of the argument that these criticisms are not really as strong as you might think, and the perceived benefits of proportionality perhaps are less clear than you might think. But for now, let's take these three points as read and consider instead what a common law proportionality standard might look like and what it might require us to do in practice. Here are some ideas. What should this type of proportionality look like? Well, first, not, I think, a Human Rights Act sort of approach. Now, the Human Rights Act approach works perfectly well in the context of that act. The act sets out the convention rights and requires any interference with those rights, any derogation from those rights, to be justified. And so when you have a Human Rights Act case, the question that arises is always whether the decision taken is proportionate to the extent to which it interferes with a convention right. That's fine so far as the Human Rights Act is concerned, but simply saying that the common law requires consideration of proportionality doesn't really explain how that sort of approach would be mapped onto the sort of common law challenges that, as I say, are outside the reach of the present Human Rights Act. The short reason for that is that there is no set of common law standards that can play the same role as convention rights do under the Human Rights Act. As you know, most of the decisions that are taken by public authorities day to day are taken in the exercise of specific duties or specific powers. And save for situations where those decisions engage one or more of the convention rights, there's no universal set of common law standards that you can use to provide a yardstick to decide whether you're doing the right thing or whether you're doing the wrong thing. Instead, what the common law has always done, via the Wensbury principles, has always been to look at legality by way of testing a range of different matters, so asking about relevant and irrelevant considerations, asking whether the decision taken has pursued a proper purpose, and whether the decision is ultimately consistent with the statutory power that's an issue, and so on. So I think the point is this: common law testing has not been directed to the protection of particular identified rights. What it has been directed to instead is a more general approach to testing the propriety of the way in which public authorities use their powers. Now, that, it seems to me, ought to go a long way to provide an answer to the way in which a common law approach to proportionality should look. And it seems to me that the answer may well be that common law proportionality that Lord Mance advocates or has advocated in those two cases may well be more consistent with the approach that's taken under EU law, and could be boiled down to a general proposition that the exercise of public power should be proportionate, using the term in a more general sense, proportionate to the end being pursued. Now, that is the way that Lord Reed formulated the test in a case called FAM, although I have to say other judges weren't quite so clear as he was on that point. I think what's important is that once you formulate the question in that way, you can see that in substance there may be little difference between the approach that common law proportionality will require a court to take, little difference between that and the sort of approach that is presently taken using the ordinary Wensbury principles. So, for example, the court will always consider a requirement to have regard to relevant matters. It will always consider the requirement to disregard the irrelevant. It will always consider the requirement to act for a proper purpose, and so on. Now, I think support for that idea is present in the joint judgment given by Lord Reed and Lord Toulson in the Lumsden case. And I think what that does, in quite an extended passage that talks about EU law proportionality, is to demonstrate a level of flexibility that can be inherent within a proportionality type test. Now, in that case, they identified two basic questions as being the questions posed by EU law when it talks about proportionality. Firstly, is the measure suitable to achieve the objective pursued? And secondly, could it be obtained by a less onerous method? Now, I think the notion of suitability opens up a range of possible approaches. At one end of the scale, there would be outright merits review, but the European Court has never proposed that as the way that a court should go. On the other end of the scale, there is an approach that would look at suitability by reference to considerations that we, as common lawyers, would find very, very familiar. That's to say, considerations of relevance, considerations of proper purpose, and so on. And so one can imagine that an approach based on proportionality need not differ too much from the present common law approach that we have been used to for a number of years. Again, it seems to me that the same observations and the same conclusions probably also apply to the less onerous method limb of the EU law approach, because the notion of fair balance, which is what the less onerous method point is getting at, is there a fair balance between the individual's interest and the general interest, has always required a court, for example, to think about the possibility of alternatives, even when the court was thinking of it in terms of rationality. One way of assessing the rationality of a decision is asking yourself, well, what is it that the public authority could have done differently? And so all of this, I think, creates a situation which ought to be less threatening and ought to be more familiar than you might at first think would be the case. Moving through the slides, or the next slides, which are all by reference to this joint judgment in Lumsden, here are three characteristics of EU law proportionality identified in the judgment in that case. So embracing the notion of sound administration, which again seems to me to be something that's probably quite similar to the sort of principles that underline Wensbury. It is nuanced and fact-sensitive. It depends on context. Intensity of review is always an important matter. There is no schematic approach. Now, I think what is striking about these is the level of similarity between these characteristics and features of the common law judicial review that we all know and, well, love would be putting it too highly, but at least we all know. And I think the same conclusion is apparent from these further points that were made by Lord Reed and Lord Toulson concerning the level of scrutiny that is appropriate. That is to say, just how eager should a court be to sit on the shoulders of the decision maker? So there we have it, that where the decision depends on matters of sensitive political, social, or economic choice, the level of scrutiny is manifestly inappropriate. Is the choice beyond the range reasonably available? And pause for a minute. The vast majority of decisions taken by public authorities are likely to fall into the category of decisions involving matters of social or economic choice, because they are usually decisions that concern the allocation of finite resources, or they are decisions that concern one or other aspect of social policy that the local authority is responsible for pursuing. Next, the less onerous method, said Lord Reed and Lord Toulson, almost vanishes in this class of cases for all practical purposes. I think the last bullet point is important, that nevertheless there may be in-depth consideration by a court of the factual basis of the decision and the reasoning that underlies it. That, I think, gives a clear steer as to the practical consequences that a move to proportionality testing may have. The emphasis on, do you have a good story to tell about the decision and why it was taken. Quickly on to the next slide, again on level of scrutiny. Now, these parts of the judgment address the approach that can be taken in EU law when the decision derogates from a recognised fundamental EU law right. And you can see from the points there that the approach in EU law to proportionality there is much more like a Human Rights Act style approach in terms of derogation and justification. But I think for a moment, how often is this sort of scenario going to arise for public authorities outside contexts where Human Rights Act claims are already available? There are few, if any, common law fundamental rights. And so it seems to me that a move to common law proportionality testing is much more likely to follow the sort of principles we saw on the last slide than the sort of principles we see sketched on this particular slide. So drawing that all together, I think what you get to, oh, that's very exciting, we won't see that yet. Drawing that all together, I think where you get to is the possibility that a move to adopt as a matter of common law some form of proportionality approach may well be ultimately not that different in practice from the sort of approach that we already have using the tried and tested common law Wednesbury language. I think where the difficulty, sorry, where the difference may arise is that courts may feel more able and more willing to test the factual premises of decisions that are taken, and on that basis there may be a greater burden of explanation upon public authorities. But that ought to be the long and the short of it. Now, I'll skip over a couple of slides in the interest of time and go to this question. Will using the language of proportionality affect outcomes? Now, this is Lord Newburger in the case of Rotherham and other local authorities against the business secretary. And you can see there that the point that he makes, or the number of points he makes within that quotation, are all directed towards encouraging courts to allow there to be a suitable distance between their own judgment on matters of social and economic policy and the judgments that public authorities have taken. So he emphasises proper respect to be afforded to the decision maker, that the extent of respect will depend on the nature of the decision and the extent to which the decision has engaged the particular responsibilities or the particular expertise of the decision maker. Now, that was a case where the challenge was to a decision by the business secretary as to how EU social fund monies should be distributed between various regions within the United Kingdom. So you can see that in that case, you might think that in that case, and clearly Lord Newburger also thought in that case, this was a classic scenario in which the court should be reluctant to wade in with their sleeves rolled up and look again at the detail of the judgments that have been made by the decision maker. However, of course, what is always important is that words and actions by the courts coincide. In Rotherham itself, there was a 7-judge Supreme Court, and although the question concerned this distribution of EU social funds, and although you might have thought that that was a rather sort of hands-off situation for a court than a hands-on situation, and looking at Lord Newburger's judgment, that would appear to be precisely the point that he made. Nevertheless, the Supreme Court split 4-3. The decision taken by the business secretary was upheld, but only by the narrowest of margins. And so I think we see there perhaps one possible practical consequence is that although the language of proportionality need not of itself generate any more intrusive level of scrutiny by the courts, and although there is a good case to be made that there are proper distinctions to be drawn between decisions on general social and economic policy and decisions in other areas, in practice, perhaps the change of language may do no more than encourage the courts to wade in where perhaps otherwise they wouldn't do so. But as I say, at least in terms of the explanation of principle, one sees there a clear indication that a move to common law proportionality need not result in a radically different approach. So what sort of cases may be affected? What sort of cases may be decided differently? Well, here are two ideas. Derogation cases, so cases where there is some form of fundamental common law right which is not also a convention right, or maybe there is some sort of statutory right that has a particular significance, again, that does not engage or fall within the ambit of any convention right. Now, they may be different because in those cases it may be that the burden of explanation that a court would expect the local authority to discharge will be heavier. But it seems to me that that class of case is likely to be very, very small indeed. It is difficult to identify fundamental common law rights in any great number. It's certainly difficult to identify fundamental statutory rights in any great number. How do you know which statutory right is more important than the next statutory right? It's simply an impossible exercise to undertake. So I think that class may well be small, but it will be the rogue class. Then hard cases of all types. But hard cases have always been hard cases. There's always been the risk element in those situations. And there's always, they have always brought with them the possibility that a court, well, effectively the possibility of court nullification of the public authority's decision. That's to say that the court will simply decide for itself where the substantive merits of the situation lie. So again, it may be that a move to the language of proportionality allows the court gives the court greater encouragement to treat those hard cases in that way, but that may in fact not reflect any significant change in the sorts of outcomes that we would expect, even if Wenjby language was still being used. Finally, back to the practical consequences, and you'll see that two of them I've suggested there under the heading that there would be a more positive and assertive approach required on the part of public authorities, both to the preparation of evidence and to the way in which cases are explained in the event of court hearings and legal challenge. I think there is one further point that could be made as well, a more positive and assertive approach being required in the sense of scrutinising, sense-checking decisions before they are taken, making sure that if there is a difficult decision, a decision of likely controversy, well then the public authority really does have a good story to tell in relation to the reasons for that decision, notwithstanding the adverse impacts it will have on one or more groups that are affected by the local authority's conclusion. So, it seems to me that we do face the possibility of a brave new approach by the court in the sense that they will adopt the language of proportionality for the purposes of testing at common law the sort of day-to-day decisions that our authorities take. How long it takes to get to that point, to get to the point where the language has moved from Wenjby to proportionality, well, I think that's less certain, but I do think the direction of travel is tolerably clear. Where we are heading, I think, is a situation in which an EU law style of proportionality, which is sensitive to circumstances and which is inherently flexible, is likely to be the style of proportionality that will be adopted, rather than the slightly more prescriptive, the slightly more categorised approach to proportionality that we've all become used to under the Human Rights Act in cases where convention rights are in play.